Yeah, good afternoon. I'm glad everybody's here. Thank you guys for coming. We're covering today why seek Jesus first. And I'd like to just start with prayer, if I may. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift you up today. We ask that all words would be of you, from you, to you, for you. And we thank you for the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our first series we did on Why Seek Jesus First, we covered a couple of scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, the scripture says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So we've covered righteousness and wisdom, and we'll talk about that briefly. And then we're going to cover sanctification and redemption. And those are big words, but they're very simple. And so for us today, we're going to just take a little more time. When I was asking the Lord, he gave me a scripture, because he first loved us. The love of God through Jesus. That's really why we are seeking Jesus first. Because he first loved us. Not like we loved him. It's like he first loved us. And so I have asked the Lord a number of times about certain things. And I'm sure you have too, if you have a quiet time every day. But several of the things that have been answered to me in a number of ways. One was, how did the martyrs do what they did? Because back in the day when this church was first starting, I've just seen a teaching on Ephesus and how evil, wicked it was. Seriously evil, wicked, like way worse than what we've ever thought about. And they were brand new. They had nothing to count on except they believed. And they knew how much God loved them. And that was the answer. The Lord gave me that today. I have lots of answers based on scripture. But the one he gave me today is the reason and the way that they have been able to be martyred, like the disciples, every one of them. Every one of them gave their life in a terrible way. It was because, not because they loved Jesus, but because they knew the love of God toward them through Jesus. Big difference. And so I'm always thinking about, I don't like the word evangelism, but I'm always thinking about how to share Jesus with other people. And I love listening to Billy Graham, and I'm like, oh, so anointed. And reading, every scripture just jumps out at me. Wow, this would be really good. Wow, that would be really good. Oh, I love the way this is said. If I could just say it like that, if I could just do it like that, I'm just hungry to be able to tell people about Jesus and make a difference. Because we continually learn about how much Jesus loved us. How much God loved us through Jesus. And we sometimes get a little gospel hardened because we've heard these scriptures said the same way over and over. And we go, okay. But no, they're real. They're alive. And I said to the Holy Spirit the other day, I said, I'm going over here. I'm going over there. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that. And everything I'm seeing is such a great scripture. How come it's such a great scripture? I mean, this is such a great scripture. And I felt like he liked it, that I was complimenting him on how he said it and the way he said it and the words he used and the anointing that was in it. I'm like, the Holy Spirit's writing this. Why am I so excited not to realize? No wonder it's so great, right? No wonder it's so great. So I'm going to do a quick review on the righteousness and wisdom, just then we can catch up and move on. In our first session, we looked at righteousness and wisdom. And we saw in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are good reasons to have a daily quiet time with the Lord. And we talked about that before. We said that we all need quiet time. And then we talked about some of the ways that we do a quiet time. That you need to be quiet. You need to take time every day. You need to seek him and use his word. And everyone has a little different way of doing it. So we understand that. But something I am learning is that if I will write what maybe a scripture that jumps out at me, if I will write that down and just start, the Holy Spirit will help me. And so I'm amazed sometimes at what he says. And I'm sure that you've all had these things where he just comes to you with something. And it's really important to write it down. A lot of times with Norm, I'll come out of my quiet time and I'll just be running my mouth. And he'll go, did you write that down? You need to write that down. Oh, okay. So he does the same. He has quite a powerful time with the Lord. And he has probably a better listening ear for the Lord than I have. But I'm learning and I'm practicing and I'm doing. And so, again, I have thought so many times about my family and the people who don't know Jesus as love, the love of God. I thought about family members who just haven't made that connection yet. And what can I say? And how would I say it? And what would I say? And how would I say it? And I've written and written and written and written. So I felt like the Lord said, go back and look at what you've written. So I went back, 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 back. I finally get to this one, January the 26th this year. And I'm reading it. And I'm like, wow, this is really good. He said, yeah, I wrote it. So I'm going to read you what the Holy Spirit wrote. And I just had the pen in hand, and off he went, and I scribbled so pitifully, I had to recopy it so even I could read it well. So I'm reading this to you because the Lord really wants us to know him and to understand that I don't have to have a memorized speech. Billy Graham, whoever, I don't have to do that. I have to allow the Holy Spirit of God who lives in me to bring up what he wants said, when he wants it said, and how he wants it said. And so that's faith. And I'm just trusting in my own. And why did I have to go all the way back to these script, to what I've got here today? Because all the other writings that I did were out of my own head, out of my own understanding, trying to figure out how to make it come together and work. And none of them really did. But when I hit this one, he had written it. So I'm just going to read you. And this is for anybody who has family or friends or loved ones who really haven't heard this. I stand between you and your past. My shadow is on your past. My face is on the light on your now. Join me in who you really are. A new day begins. The light of his face fills the heaven. A new creation. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. And here's the Holy Spirit's story. It may not be. It is what he gave me, and as fast as I could write. This is Lucifer, the devil, of the highest order of angels, closest to God himself, the devil, covered in God's best, wanted to usurp the throne of God, saying, I will, I will, I will. He was created to glorify God, but did not. He fell from glory, cast out of heaven with the angels who rebelled with him, now called demons. He searched for repentance, but he found no way back, none. Mankind, created in the image of God, to glorify God and to love God and for fellowship, was cast out of the Garden of Eden, the paradise of God, for rebellion. They did not obey. He told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could have eaten anything else in the garden but that. Adam fell from glory by his choices, but God had already prepared a way of return, a way of repentance. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Lord God is calling all mankind to repentance through Jesus, the sinless Son of God, born of a virgin without the inherited sin nature. His choice to sin, and he did not. He learned obedience by what he suffered. He stayed the course through the worst suffering, endured the bloody skin, ripping evil hate from the devil, who is working through men. He went willingly to the cross for all mankind. He gave his back to stripes. He laid himself on the altar of that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he remained silent, and he took it all for mankind to have a way of repentance, a way to return, proven by the resurrection of God power, bringing him into his rightful place on the throne. King of kings, Lord of lords, high priest of our confession. The devil hates mankind. He does not want mankind to know the way of repentance through Jesus. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for man. Jesus, open your heart. Invite him in. In Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone invites me, I will come in and sup with him. He'll have fellowship and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. I am not above you. I am who you can be. Follow me to the kingdom of God, eternal life with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three facets of God. To the believer, he says, I am in you. I am with you. I am delivering you. I am keeping you. I am developing you. I give you my spirit to guide you on this earth. In me, you belong. You have a home. You have a family. You have loved ones. You have a father who loves you above all you could ask or think forever. You are forgiven. I remember your sins no more. I remember your sins no more. You have value and are treasured. I gave my son for you. I am your Lord, your Savior, your King. I am your life. I will take you through this temporary world and bring you into the eternity of eternities to live forever in the presence of the God of the universe. Love beyond your earthly ability to know or experience. Accepted. A new body, a new life, a new ability to see, hear, understand the invisible realm of the kingdom of God, the true reality of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, pure, holy love and fellowship with loved ones who have gone before, and your Savior, Lord, and lover of your soul, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, life, reality, life, above all you ask or think. I am yours. You are mine. Here's the almost too good to be true news. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe not. It's the way, the truth, the life for becoming a new creature, for making the old things pass away. Yes, making all things new. An introduction into the kingdom of God while you still live in the temporary visible world, limited and ruled by the five senses. This is influenced and dominated by the prince of this world called the devil, Satan. Even though we learn that he was defeated by Jesus the Messiah on the cross, he still wants to keep us seeing only with our five senses. All the evil, disobedience to God's divine laws, all the moral decay of this temporary earth realm. But God, through Jesus, has made a way to see, hear, know the truth, the invisible realm of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now when we invite Jesus to come into our heart, we have our five senses overruled, and we can see glimpses of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. So let's begin at the beginning and take a first look, or take another look with Jesus into this invisible kingdom of God that we were created for. How to see the kingdom of God that we were created for. How to see the truth, the way, and the life. A review of the kingdom, it's through Jesus, the Messiah. Our responsibility is to hear about him, receive him, believe him, invite him into our heart by faith. If Lord, Holy Spirit can write like that, then he can talk like that through me and through you, because he lives in us. And we heard the word, and we know the word, and we don't need to think we don't have anything to give, because what we're giving is the love of God to other people. That's what we're giving. And so you don't have to have a fancy way of saying things, because the Holy Spirit will do it. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for all of us to really believe and trust that in him we live and move and have our being. In him we are righteous. In him we have wisdom. In him we have sanctification and redemption. And so these quiet times are extremely valuable, because he wants us to know who we are in him. And he wants to remind us and assure us and complete us and follow through with us, and give us hope, and keep our eyes on him and not on the things of this world. I wanted to look at the newer parts of what the Lord has said to us. Because he is God, the Lord Jesus. And in Philippians 2, 6 and 7, it says, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like man and was born a human being. He is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation, for it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service and intervention, and in and for him. The wisdom of God comes to a point where we understand the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, but of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. In Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Let's continue to look at the different scriptures. And we're coming up to the newer one, which is on sanctification. And sanctification is a big word, but it just simply means to purify, consecrate, or separate yourself to God and make holy. God is the one who is sanctifying us through Jesus. He's making us holy, and he's separating us. That's why we don't fit in the world. That's why this world doesn't satisfy us. That's why we're called aliens, because we don't belong here anymore. And Jesus knew it when he had his disciples, and he knew that same thing about himself. In sanctification, I wanted us to take a listen. You don't have to read on this, but I wanted you to hear the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father the night before he was to be crucified. And he knew what he was about to suffer. He knew he was going to be torn apart. He knew, and he continued to go forward. And that scripture that says he learned obedience by what he suffered, that's what it means. He suffered, and he proved obedience. And that's how the martyrs do it. They suffer, and they learn the obedience of being true to the Lord. Let me pull that up for you. When you talk to people about learning about the Lord, everyone advises that we look at John, the book of John first. So when you find a new believer that you're wanting to help, it's always good to send them to the book of John, where there's so much in there about love. But I want you to hear the love of Jesus. This is John 17, and I'm going to read the whole chapter because it's amazing. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things are mine and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your words, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a prayer for all people, for all generations. That's what we have in us to give, so that no one can say, I never heard. Why didn't you tell me? Because he wants them to know. And we need to keep our reminders. That's a precious thing in the church. The reason that we have this fellowship is to encourage one another, to hear the word said, to believe it, and then go out and do it. Sanctification is really purifying, consecrating, and separating yourself unto God to make him holy. Redemption is Jesus. Redemption is Jesus redeemed all mankind from physical death. He redeemed the repentant from sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What amazing words. Only the Holy Spirit of God could make it so clear and simple and deep and profound. We could never think, but he thinks with us and for us and in us and through us. We don't have to be that. He's that for us. Did you ever hear of something called the prayer of redemption? I thought it was called the prayer of salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Yes, by God himself, we who have accepted Christ Jesus are in him. We're in him. And he's in us. We have wisdom from God and right standing with God. And we're made holy and we're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God for all eternity, to be resurrected from the dead to eternal life with God the Father and with all the saints who've gone before us, who have opened their heart to invite Jesus in and are learning to live in the presence of God even while living on the earth. My message to you today is tell somebody. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just come before your precious throne, seeking to have a fresh awakening of your great love for us, seeking to know Jesus and the sacrifice of love that he did for all mankind, that there is not one on this earth who could not be redeemed, even the man on the cross with Jesus who was a sinner. When he recognized who Jesus was, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognized Jesus as Lord of another kingdom. Help us, Father, to be able to say words that would bring life to the souls that you created and love so much. Help us to love like Jesus. Amen and amen. Father, we're going to just take hands for our precious pastor, our precious Pastor Dave. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that he and Ina are one with you. He and Ina are one in the kingdom of God for your purposes. And we cry out, Father, that not one day would be taken from him before his time. And we declare in agreement with him that he finishes strong in the mighty name of Jesus for the kingdom of God, for the glory of the Father, for the honor of the Lord Jesus, and for the salvation of souls that he's calling us to bring in. I thank you, Father, that you are our healer. You paid the price. You are the deliverer. You paid the price. You are the life. You paid the price. And we glorify you in the heart and mind of our pastors, Dave and Ina. We lift them to you for a complete and strong turnaround in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you. It's already begun in Jesus' name. Amen.